is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to your daily dose of deprogramming. We are live. It is straight up 10 o'clock Central Time right now, and it is Thursday, or as I like to call it, Friday evening, and it is the fourth day of December. We are zooming right along, almost finished with the whole 2014 year. Absolutely mind-blowing how quickly time is going by. Have to give you guys a heads up. Today's show is going to be absolutely amazing, and I'm not just saying that right now. Obviously, you know, we do this every day from 10 until noon. We spend an hour going over all the pertinent news of the day, and I do my best to try and roll through all the news stories that are going on. And there's always so many. It's always difficult to get to them all. But we also always have a fantastic guest in the second hour, and today is not going to be any exception to that rule. I imagine today might actually be a high watermark, which is saying a lot given some of the guests that we have had. But today, at 11 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Dr. Richard Allen Miller. And for those of you folks out there who are not familiar with his work, ostensibly he is a physicist, but more importantly, this gentleman was working for Black Ops in Navy Intel back in the 1960s. So to say that this gentleman has seen it, done it, and bought the soundtrack would be an understatement. He's also an author, a lot of research into physics, metaphysics, alternative agriculture. Just, I mean, the guy's breadth of knowledge will boggle your minds. He's also a fifth generation Scottish Freemason. So we're going to get into some pretty interesting discussions with him this afternoon. Not this afternoon, at 11 o'clock, pardon me. So do stay tuned for that. And then I want to give you a heads up about tomorrow as well. Elena Freeland is going to be on the show. She has written a book about chemtrails and HAARP and about the full spectrum dominance as things like chemtrails and HAARP and geoengineering are being used by militaries around the world for this total control. Now, we've had Dang Wigington on, and we've spoken quite a bit about the totality of the geoengineering program, but one of the questions that's always been on the table is, what in the world are they doing it for? What are the actual goals? What are the intentions? Things like that. Elena has written a book that is quite literally a textbook. I mean, this thing is so well documented. There are so many footnotes and things, not only talking about each individual program of the geoengineering agenda, but how each one has been implemented, the history of each, and what the actual effects are on people here in the society. So just going to be another riveting discussion if you're interested in geoengineering or in the weaponization of geoengineering. This is going to be a show tomorrow that you're not going to want to miss either. So the next 2 days, guys, is going to be big, big stuff. Speaking of big, big stuff, I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in every day. I know it's Thursday. We're past our first month, and the listenership's still continuing to grow. Can't thank you guys enough for being out there and tuning in every day. We here at Red Pill Reports doing our best to keep you guys in the loop on what's going on and to try and break down every single layer of the matrix that seems to be surrounding us. So let's jump into now some of the international headlines that are going on. Obviously, there are still wars being waged all over the world. Some of the collusion between OPEC and Saudi Arabia and Israel, Syria, some of the stuff that's going on over there right now is starting to get a little strange. I'm not going to lie. It's difficult right now to tell who is holding whose hands and who is being friends with who and who really wants to hurt the others. It's getting more and more conflicting over there. So let's get into some of that. Right now I've got some news coming out of Saudi Arabia. Essentially, they are saying in Saudi Arabia that countering terrorism in Syria is obviously going to take a lot longer. And they are saying now that it is going to require combat troops on the ground. This is the Saudi Foreign Minister, Prince Saud al-Faisal, talking to an international conference on the partner countries in the coalition against ISIS, and this was held in Brussels on Wednesday. He goes on to say that it is out of the kingdom's keenness on the continuation of cohesion of this coalition. Boy, that's a difficult sentence to say. The continuation of the cohesion of this coalition and the success of its efforts. They now believe that the efforts require the presence of combat troops on the ground. He says, to achieve this goal, there is going to be an urgent need to strengthen the forces of moderation represented in the Syrian Free Army, or the Syrian Fake Army, as we like to call it, and all other moderate opposition forces. In Iraq, the Saudi foreign minister actually said that combating terrorism requires the unity of an internal front and the restructure of the army under a collective doctrine. So just listen to how silly that is. We're talking about Saudi Arabia essentially asking for, a collection and a unity of the internal front, while at the same time they're suppressing oil prices to harm Iran, who the United States is allowing to bomb sites inside of Iraq. So it's just, at one point here they want to unify this force against ISIS, while at the same time they're not really going to be super genuine to the other people who are involved with that. Looking at Iran, like, how can you be an enemy of Iran and then say at the same time, it's like you're on one hand you're trying to hurt Iran, and on the other hand you're trying to ask them to come to the table and help fight ISIS. It's just silly. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what leaders in Saudi Arabia are saying right now. So that's going on. The French Parliament did pass a symbolic vote yesterday to recognize the Palestinian state. Of course, this is following MPs in Britain and Spain already having passed similar motions. This proposal was proposed by more than two-thirds of French lawmakers and was approved with 339 votes in favor against 151 against it. The vote is obviously non-binding, but it again sends a signal to Israel that Israel and Palestinians must both return to the negotiation table following the collapse of the U.S.-mediated statehood talks back in April. Obviously, Benjamin Netanyahu is saying that the French vote is a grave mistake. He always says stuff like that. You just want to slap him in the head, don't you? Oh, showing my hands here a little bit. And in similar news, a UN resolution has now come out. The United Nations General Assembly has criticized formally Israel for failing to join the International Non-Proliferation Treaty and urged it to renounce its arsenal of nuclear weapons. The UN has also passed an Arab-introduced resolution on Tuesday calling on Israel not to develop, produce, or possess nuclear arms, according to several media reports. The resolution calls on Israel to accede to a treaty without further delay, not to develop, produce, test, or otherwise acquire nuclear weapons, and to renounce the possession of nuclear weapons and put part of its nuclear facilities under the safeguard of the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency. Israel, which is believed to have nuclear arms but has never admitted it, has long been under fire from Arab countries in the region for not putting its alleged stockpile under international supervision. The resolution initiated in Egypt was actually approved by 161 nations, with only 5 voting against it. The United States and Canada were among the minorities opposing the measure. Go figure. There you go. So Israel's still under the gun there. The Pope has made kind of an unusual move here. He has fired the head of the Swiss Guard, which is essentially the Pope's own private army. They did not give any kind of formal explanation, but it's widely rumored that the Argentinian Pope, who has established a warmer, more inclusive style of government since being appointed pontiff in last March, found that the commander's manner overly strict and Teutonic. And it's there's some allegory story here where the 77-year-old Pope is said to have been appalled recently after emerging one morning from his private suite of rooms to find that a Swiss guard had been standing guard all night. He told the young man to sit down. The soldier said, "I can't. It's against my orders." Pope then replied, "I give the orders around here, buddy," and then promptly went off and bought the bought the young guardsman a cappuccino, which I find to be really interesting. But again, the Jesuit pontiff, named the People's Pope, is said to want the Swiss Guard to be less rigid in its rules and even less militaristic. So sacking the head of the Swiss Guard is the new move that the Pope has made now. moving over into the Ukraine, natives from the U.S., Georgia, and Lithuania both hastily sped through the Ukrainian citizenship process just this week in order to become key ministers in the new government of Ukraine, which is approved by the government's, by the county's parliament on Tuesday. Poroshenko, the president now, has announced he will also sign a decree to grant citizenship to foreigners who want to come and fight on Kiev's side in the east part of the country. Wow. Good job if you can get it, I guess. And Natalie Jaresko is the person I'd like to speak about right now. She is of the U.S., and she currently heads the Kiev-based Horizon Capital Investment Fund, which will take the reins at the Ukrainian Finance Ministry. So Natalie Jaresko, global New World Order banker, also served from 92 to 95 as the first chief of economic section in the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. Now she is going to be tapped to be taking the reins at the Ukrainian Finance Ministry. So another global banker being shuffled into the fold in Ukraine. Par for the course for what's going on there right now. So there you go. Again, if you guys want to, you can go to redpillreports.com and check out the show section. We've got all these articles laid out so you can follow along with us. Really do appreciate everybody going and checking that out every day as part of your daily news aggregation. Robert does such a great job getting everything up on the site and keeping it looking amazing. Let's see, moving on to Greece. The Greece rejects the Troika demands on Australia. So Antonis Samaras, who is the Greek prime minister, rejected calls from the Troika of its international creditors to raise taxes to satisfy their demands of Greece's bailout program. He criticized the three entities for exerting heavy pressure on the country. His comments on Tuesday were made during an economic conference at the Greek-American Chamber of Commerce. And according to Press TV, the Prime Minister actually also censured the Troika, the European Union, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank for pressuring Athens on imposing additional austerity measures, including tax rises and income cuts. Samaras argued that the measurements demanded by the Troika would be disastrous for the country, which had just now emerged from a six-year-long recession. So I would imagine people are getting pretty tired of the austerity, and finally Greece is going to stand up and do something about it. They're probably sick of tens of thousands of people storming through Athens and burning cars and things like that, which I think would be the result of more austerity measures. So good on them for at least attempting to curtail the influence of the IMF and all of those. We'll just call them jerks. I'll call them jerks. Okay, Hungary right now fuming after McCain calls the Prime Minister Orban a neo-fascist dictator. I don't know why John McCain is allowed to speak anymore ever, but he apparently is still being allowed to speak. Hungary's foreign minister has summoned now the U.S. envoy after U.S. Senator John McCain called the Prime Minister Viktor Orban a neo-fascist dictator. And Washington is incensed with Orban for seeking closer ties with Russia. Now, why wouldn't Hungary want closer ties with Russia, given the BRICS developments and all of the things that we talked about with V yesterday? I can't imagine why the United States would want to limit anybody from aligning with Russia or China or any of the other countries that are going to wipe petrodollar off the bat. But that's apparently what's happening. McCain's comments came in a highly charged speech at the U.S. Senate on Tuesday, where he hit out at President Barack Obama's appointment of Hollywood producer Colleen Bell as the new U.S. ambassador to Budapest. He goes on to say, "I'm not against political appointees. I understand how the game is played, but Hungary is on the verge of ceding its sovereignty to a neo-fascist dictator getting in bed with Vladimir Putin. And we're going to send the producer of The Bold and the Beautiful as the ambassador," he told the Senate. Oh, man, I can't even imagine. But, you know, why wouldn't we send a Hollywood producer to start running other countries? It seems like the Wag the Dog initiative is well in effect. So it actually makes quite a bit of sense that we would send a soap opera producer to be the new ambassador to the Ukraine. Obviously, John for the love of God McCain, as I like to call him, a little bit incensed about that, but whatever. Switzerland isn't planning to introduce sanctions against Russia and will only levy them should the UN Security Council approve the new measures, according to the new Swiss ambassador to Russia. He goes on to say if the United Nations Security Council is introducing sanctions against some state, Switzerland, that became a member of the UN in 2002, is obviously going to join in, just like any other member of the organization, even if we don't like it. He says this is probably the only time in which case Bern would follow international sanctions and implement them as well. But President Vladimir Putin has told the West that sanctions against Russia are unsanctimonious. The president of Russia maintains that only the UN Security Council should have the power to make decisions on sanctions and military force. Switzerland, which is not part of the EU, has not pioneered sanctions against Russia, but has mirrored US and EU sanctions. Switzerland's measures against Russia fall very short of the broader economic sanctions in the US and the EU have introduced, which have halted the sale of defense equipment and tightened demands on Swiss financial intermediaries. But Switzerland coming out officially now saying they are not going to install sanctions against Russia unless the UN Security Council, of which they are a part, tells them to do so, which makes sense to me, given their close proximity to Russia. Let's move on to some national news right now. Big story coming out of Austin, Texas. Texas right now is leading a 17-state coalition suing President Barack Obama over his recently announced executive actions on immigration, arguing in a lawsuit filed just Wednesday this week that the move, quote-unquote, tramples key portions of the U.S. Constitution. Now, many top Republicans have denounced Obama's order, which was designed to spare millions living illegally in the United States from deportation. But Texas Governor-elect and current Attorney General Greg Abbott took it a step further, filing a formal legal challenge in federal court in the Southern District of Texas just this week. His state is joined by 16 other mostly conservative ones, largely in the South and Midwest, like Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, not in the South or the Midwest, guys. Hate to break that to you. Indiana and the Carolinas. They are not sending monetary, they're not seeking monetary damage, but they instead want the courts to essentially block Obama's actions. While Abbott has pleaded for weeks that his states would sue, the span of the coalition Texas put together has now surprised both the proponents and the opponents of the executive order. The lawsuit right now raises two major obligations. First, that the Obama administration violated the Take Care Clause of the United States Constitution, which Abbott says limits the scope of presidential power, and that the order will, quote-unquote, exacerbate the humanitarian crisis along the southern border, which will be affected by increased state investment in local law enforcement, healthcare, and education. Abbott goes on to say that it is up to the president to execute law, not to make de facto law. So, lawsuit now, 17 states joining in a coalition was filed in the Southern District of Texas just this week. Hopefully, something will happen. I can't imagine why we're not moving on towards impeachment, but there you go. Feds. The federal government is balking at releasing the documents showing that the IRS shared tax returns with the White House. We just had the story last week. The White House essentially fessed up that it had found some 2,500 documents potentially showing that the IRS shared taxpayer returns with the White House. And the Obama administration has now reversed course and will not be releasing the trove to a group suing for access. In an abrupt decision, the Treasury Inspector General's office said that the departments are covered by privacy and disclosure laws and cannot be provided to Cause of Action, which is the name of the organization suing for their release, despite a promise last week to hand over some 2,500 documents. They go on to say all of the 2,043 pages of documentation have been determined to be responsive were collected by the Secretary of the Treasury with respect to the determination of possible liability under Title 26 of the U.S. State Code. These pages consist of return information protected by 26 U.S.C. and 6103 and may not be disclosed absent an express statutory exception. This is their response to Dan Epstein, who is the Executive Director of Cause and Action, saying that the Treasury was seeking a very sophisticated lawyering to weasel out of producing the documents. He goes on to note that their letter said that the Treasury Secretary Jack Lew is now looking into the potential liability that his tax aides broke laws in sharing taxpayer information with the White House. But this is obviously just the latest twist in the taxpayer advocates' effort to provide or to prove allegations of political harassment of conservative taxpayers and groups. The documents are not related to the larger IRS harassment of Tea Party groups, but they could show a pattern of targeting by the White House. And cause of action had actually won a Freedom of Information legal action to gain access to these documents and expected them to be pretty much fully redacted. But Epstein says now he has plans to fight the Treasury's move in court. So feds balking at the dissemination of knowledge that they have already lost access to in a lawsuit, obviously more legal monkeying around coming from the Fed. So that's what's going on there. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that because this is a huge issue. And a new poll that was just released by Quinnipiac, a record percentage of Americans polled do not want illegal immigrations or illegal immigrants to have a path to citizenship and feel that illegal immigrants should be deported. Now, this poll found that support for a pathway to citizenship is at its lowest level after measured by the independent polling outfit, with while the percentage of Americans who feel that illegal immigrants should be required to leave is actually higher than this number has ever been. The poll, which was taken after Obama announced his executive amnesty, found that 48% of Americans believe illegal immigrants should be allowed to stay with a pathway to citizenship, down from 57% just a few weeks ago in the middle of November. And this is the lowest number that has ever been. Another 11% said immigrants should be allowed to stay. The plurality of Americans also disapproved of Obama's executive amnesty, with 48% being opposed. So that's where the wind is blowing on the amnesty issue right now. Another California cop has come under the radar for releasing or for sharing intimate photos from a suspect. I won't get into that too much, but there is a very startling report on InfoWars right now. Tim Cushing always does such a great job over there. I'd highly recommend people check out the link at redpillreports.com. But, these police officers, they arrest somebody, they check out their phone. This particular situation happened in Palo Alto. And the detective that was in charge found these illicit images, sent them to his phone, and then shared them with a senior detective who didn't do anything for 2 weeks, according to the lawsuit that's now being waged against them. Obviously just ridiculous, ridiculous behavior from people who are supposed to be looking out for our better interests, but they're not. So there you go. I want to talk a little bit, too, about the Albuquerque police chief. The Albuquerque, New Mexico Police Department has obviously been under fire all year because of the Justice Department investigation concluding that its officers had been engaging in a pattern of excessive force. The 500,000-person city has actually suffered 41 officer-involved shootings, 27 of which were fatal just over the last 4 years alone, including the highly publicized caught-on-video incident in which officers fatally shot homeless camper James Boyd, who obviously appeared to pose no threat to police at the time. But Albuquerque Mayor Richard Berry actually appointed Gordon Eden, who promised to clean up the department in advance of the DOJ's investigation. And he is now Gordon Eden, the police chief at the Albuquerque Police Department. And now Reuters is reporting that Chief Eden has actually fired an Albuquerque police officer, Jeremy Deere, for four different incidents in which he allegedly either refused to turn on or disabled his body camera. And they go on to note that he is the third officer to be fired by Chief Eden since he took over as head of the Albuquerque Police Department. So a lot of people may not know, but Albuquerque police departments are actually, the officers there are required to wear body cameras. But according to Albuquerque Journal and the DOJ investigation, they concluded that police were violating the policy without facing any consequences. So the fact that this new chief of police there has fired three different officers for doing exactly what they're not supposed to be doing appears to be a really good move towards giving teeth to the department's policy requiring body cameras to be turned on during all interactions with officers. So I like that. I think that's great. It's interesting to see police departments actually stepping up and doing their job. Probably the most heartbreaking news I have to report today, obviously I'm sure everybody is already aware of this, but the NYPD officer who choked to death, Eric Garner, not going to be indicted for homicide, according to a grand jury in the NYPD area there in New York. The NYPD officer obviously caught on video placing Eric Garner in a chokehold back in July following accusations that he was selling loose cigarettes. I will remind you that is a crime that does not carry with it the death penalty in any state in the union. And I actually have to say here for just a second that what's the guy that's on TV, Sharpton, right now? He made a pretty good comment the other day, and it's not very likely that I would normally agree with Mr. Sharpton. But he said, you know, in relation to this Garner story, who Garner was 43, and he died, you know, shortly after this altercation with Officer Pantaleo. He was heard on video saying, "I can't breathe," 11 times. 11 times. So Sharpton raised the question, you know, at what point when you're hearing, when you're choking someone out and they're saying, "I can't breathe," at what point does your humanity kick in? At what point do you realize, wow, I'm just about ready to choke the life out of somebody because they were doing supposed alleged damage to resources of the state. So I'm about ready to take a human life because the state, which is a fictional creation of the minds of men, somehow is telling me to do so. And, you know, the fact that the guy followed through on it and ended up killing this guy is just, it's just so sad to me. I don't even know what to say about it other than it's just unbelievable to me. And the fact that they wouldn't indict him, you know, I don't know. I know there was a huge protest in Times Square last night at the lighting of the tree. But I have not really followed any rioting or anything like that going on, so I'm not sure what's going on there right now with that, but just ridiculous. And a follow-up story, there's been a video of a really disturbing video of a Denver Police Department officer brutally beating an unarmed suspect in August, and unfortunately, this police officer attempted to erase the footage because a bystander was taking footage on his Samsung tablet. The witness is Levi Frazier, and he told Fox 31 that the police seized his tablet once they realized he was recording the beating. The beating deals with the officer punching somebody who was allegedly in possession of drugs 6 times in the face really hard and then kicking and tripping his pregnant girlfriend to the ground. Luckily, the film was recorded on the cloud, so they were able to recover it, and now the officer is going to be going through, hopefully, some sort of disciplinary action. We will see. That's pretty much it for national news. Keep right here, guys. We have a 3-minute break, and we come back with a lot of economic news. We've got a lot of science and tech stuff and a lot of health stuff. And Dr. Richard Allen Miller back at 11. Be right back, guys.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at HempUSA.org.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the fourth day of December, and we are live right now. My name is JD, and we are working our way through the news, as it were, trying to keep everybody in the loop on what is going on this crazy ball as we travel around the sun. Moving on to some economic news right now, I do want to give everybody a heads up that Red Pill Reports now is officially part of the Carrot Bars community. And for those of you out there who don't know about Carrot Bars is a fantastic company, guys. They are a German company. They've been around for a very long time. And essentially, what they offer you guys is a gold savings plan. They give you the ability to trade your worthless Federal Reserve notes, especially right now, while the dollar index is high, probably a good time to do it, and get yourself into some physical gold. And we talk about physical gold quite often here on the show. But one of the wonderful things about Carrot Bars is that they don't sell ounces of gold. You know, a lot of people today, especially with gold, let's see where it's gold at right now. I think it's at about $1,210. A lot of people can't afford to drop $1,210 on an ounce of gold. And then there's some conjecture, too, about whether or not an ounce of gold is going to do you any good given a financial collapse, because I can't imagine trying to take an ounce of gold to the grocery store or to one of my neighbors and trying to buy bread or a chicken or something like that, just because making change is going to be very, very difficult. So Carrot Bars has effectively solved that problem. They sell three different denominations of gold. They sell it in 1 gram, 2.5 gram, and 5 gram increments. They are stored in plastic. They are tamper-proof. Each one has a QR code and a serial number, and every single gram, guys, is actually a little bit more than a gram. Industry secret, don't tell everybody, but you're actually getting a little bit more bang for your buck than you're even aware of with Carrot Bars. So if you want to check it out, if you have questions about Carrot Bars and why we here at Red Pill are so excited about Carrot Bars, please go to redpillreports.com and check out the Carrot Bars banner. It's there at the top of the page. You can also go to the contact section, and if you have some interest in Carrot Bars, send us an email. We will absolutely, you know, we'll call you on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. I spend a lot of my time talking to people and coaching them and getting them in up to speed on Carrot Bars, and I'm more than happy to do that. So send us a message through the contact tab, and we will be in touch with you. We'll help you guys get set up with some gold that's actually going to be usable going forward if things go bad. So there, so I'll get off my Carrot Bars soapbox right now. But again, if you guys are interested, this to me, you know, when I first got my first Carrot Bar, my first 1 gram in a card, I actually almost cried because it was the first time I'd ever held a real currency in my hands. And for those of us who are too young to remember what it was like to have silver certificates, this is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most succinct. I think Carrot Bars is going to be the next Bitcoin. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to overstate that. I really do believe that. So to try and get involved, get some knowledge about Carrot Bars. And if we can help you guys in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. So moving away from gold right now, again, silver still sitting at about 15, and oil right now down, the Brent sitting at 69.13, and the crude oil WTI a little bit lower at 66.46. So again, we're still in that 60 to 70 gray area. Talked quite a bit with V yesterday about how that could potentially affect the overall economy, given the fact that energy is our number one export now in the United States, and what that's going to do to the shale industry here. So obviously still developing and still a very, very big story. The Dow is actually down about 100 points right now, 17,821. We had reached almost new highs yesterday, so you know, midweek trading. You never know what's going on with these guys. Chicago successfully passed their ordinance yesterday that we talked about. They were having a city council meeting and trying to get an ordinance passed to raise the minimum wage in the city of Chicago to $13 an hour. That ordinance was overwhelmingly approved just yesterday by a vote of 44-5. Currently, right now, the minimum wage in Chicago is $8.25, and under the new ordinance, this will raise to $10 an hour by next July and continue to raise by 50 cents every year until 2019. The ordinance cites the rising level of inflation for the need to raise the minimum wage. Specifically, the ordinance says that rising inflation has outpaced growth in the minimum wage, leaving the true value of Illinois' current minimum wage of $8.25 an hour about 32% below the 1968 level of $10.71. So they're basically looking at history and saying that if you compare what we're paying people now to what we used to pay people, and then you take into account the value of the dollar, which has been destroyed by the Federal Reserve, oh, wouldn't you know it, people are actually making less money than they were in 1968, which I think is pretty darn apparent right now. So Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said, according to the Chicago Tribune, that the minimum wage increase is part of an economic strategy to make sure that work pays, and not only that work pays simple, but that no parent that works should have to raise a child in poverty. So do we support that decision? I think what we're going to end up seeing is a boom in self-serving and self-checkout motifs going into fast food. Any place where these people have been making the $8.25 an hour and then bumping up, I think we'll see businesses looking to remove them, to cut hours. You know, same thing we saw in Seattle and the same thing we saw in San Diego. So that's what's going on there. Moving back into the oil fields right now, there's another new report coming out of Bloomberg just yesterday saying that not only is OPEC going to refrain from cutting its oil output to stem the 5-month plunge in prices, but it's actually going to be now adding to the supply gut. Just 5 days after the OPEC countries decided to maintain production levels, Iraq, the group's second biggest member, inked an export deal with the Kurds that may add about 300,000 barrels a day to world supplies. So in a global market, that neighboring Kuwait estimates is facing a daily oversupply of 1.8 million barrels, the accord now stands to deepen crude's 39% plunge since late June. Or as Karsten Fritsch, the Frankfurt-based analyst at Commerce Bank AG, put it, there'll even be more oil flooding the market, and it's a market that nobody needs oil in. So that is going on right now. Not only OPEC deciding to continue to produce at the level, but now a new deal penned between Iraq and the Kurdish state going to add more oil to the glut, probably going to be dropping prices even more. So there you go. Be prepared for that. Swedish Prime Minister has now announced that he will call the country's first snap election in over a half a century after the parliament voted against his 2-month-old government's budget. So Stefan Löfven announced on Wednesday that the parliamentary polls will be held on March 22nd, which is highly unusual for what is considered often to be one of Europe's most stable democracies. So essentially, they are trying to, the right-wing side, the Swedish far-right Democrats, voted with the center-right opposition with the aim of toppling the new coalition in response to the government's pro-immigration policies. So that essentially is what's going on. Government is pushing pro-immigration policies, and the far-right has decided that they don't want to do that, and instead of trying to attack that issue directly, they're going to defund the government's budgets, which is essentially leaving the government sterile at this point, and now they're going to be calling for a new vote. So there you go. That's what's going on there. Takata, which is under the gun right now for the international airbag recall. Takata is a Japanese manufacturer of airbags, and they have now said that they are rejecting a broader recall for its potentially deadly airbags, insisting that tested data did not actually back such an action. Now, of course, these are the airbags made by Takata that are filled with shrapnel and potentially will blow up and send shredded metal all over your face. But Hiroshima Shimizu, who's a senior vice president at the Japanese auto parts maker, he confirmed at a congressional hearing that Takata didn't really agree with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's November 26 demand for for a recall of all cars in the U.S. with the suspect Takata airbags, because they go on to say it's really just people in humid areas. And if you're not in a humid area, then the shrapnel issue might not happen. They also go on to say that it most likely only affects the car's passengers in the passenger airbags. And obviously, the government here in the United States has already linked at least five different deaths to the problem. I wonder what happened to honor in the Japanese system. It used to be that if your company did something that affected other people negatively, you would go to the bathroom and you'd kill yourself. And now not only are they not going to do that, but they're actually going to say, no, we don't think it's really a problem, and it's really mostly just about the people who live in humid areas, and it's really just about the passengers in their cars, not really the drivers, so we don't really care. Very interesting stuff going on there as well. I want to move on to some tech news right now. There are a few more economic stories, and if you go to redpillreports.com, you can check some of them out. But I wanted to move on to some tech stuff. A lot of us were glued to our computers this morning, watching for the newest NASA test flight that was supposed to be carried out just this morning. They actually ended up calling No Joy because they were having some technical issues cycling some of the valves in the fluid containment centers, apparently. But they have ostensibly rescheduled for tomorrow. So Robert did an awesome job of putting the live feed up on redpillreports.com, and I would imagine that he will probably have that live feed up again tomorrow if they do change it. If they don't change it, it'll probably be the same one. So we'll probably all be glued to our computers again tomorrow morning, hoping that they can get this thing off the ground. But what they are going to do right now, what they are attempting to do, is it's essentially the boldest test flight in decades. The unmanned capsule was supposed to head off this morning, and when it does head off, hopefully tomorrow, it's going to reach a distance of 3,600 miles from Earth, which is the furthest space mission with a craft designed to accommodate humans since the final Apollo trip to the moon back in 1972. Called Orion, the program will mark a key initial step towards a human mission to Mars. Orion is also designed to excite the public's imagination for deep space exploration, much as the Apollo missions sparked that interest back in the early days of the 70s. With that first flight on Thursday, which was supposed to happen today, so with the first flight being tomorrow now, NASA wants to make it abundantly clear that much of the hardware that is required to get humans to Mars already exists and is ready to fly, except it wasn't ready to fly this morning. So hopefully they'll get over that hurdle tomorrow, and then they'll be able to say, yes, we have the hardware and we can pull it off. So who knows if they'll be able to do it. Now, of course, no one is about to strap on a suit and launch themselves to Mars anytime soon. Despite NASA's excitement, the pace of development, which is essentially driven by congressional funding, means that the next Orion test flight won't likely happen for about 3 more years. The first flight with the astronauts isn't actually planned to take place for another 6 years from now, and the first Orion mission to Mars isn't anticipated until at least 2035, and it will be preceded by numerous shorter flights for the four-person capsule to help improve technologies, and that will protect Mars-bound astronauts from radiation in deep space and physiological impairments of zero-gravity environments. Once one of those flights set for the mid to late 2020s will involve a rendezvous with an asteroid redirected by a robot spacecraft to orbit the moon. The mission will then dock with the robotic spacecraft carrying the asteroid and then collect samples. So that's what's going on there now. As I mentioned this morning, they called No Joy because they were having some technical issues, but we will have to come again tomorrow and see if they are successful. How about a breakthrough fiber optic cable 2,500 times faster than the fastest internet? It is real, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine now downloading your favorite movie in 31,000ths of a second. Such insane internet speeds are now reality, with researchers rolling out a 255 terabit per second fiber optic network, which could transport the entire internet on a single cable. Wow. So this cable, which was a joint effort of the Dutch and U.S. scientists, as I said, is 2,500 times faster than the fastest single fiber links in commercial operation today. In real terms, it could transfer a one gigabyte movie in 0.03 milliseconds, or the entire contents of your 1 terabit hard drive in about 31 milliseconds. At this speed, a single fiber optic cable could theoretically carry all of the data on the internet at its peak time. Unbelievable. So research at the University of Technology in Eindhoven and the University of Central Florida employed a well-known but still cost-prohibitive technology, which is called multi-mode fibers, right? So the normal fiber optic cables contain thousands of strands of glass or plastic fiber, which are slightly thicker than the thread of a needle. These fibers can, in essence, only carry the light for a single laser. But the multi-mode fiber used by the researchers here in contrast, has seven distinct cores laid out in a hexagonal shape, which are able to carry just as many distinct signals at one time. And what's more is they are squeezed down into the same size of fiber optic cables used to support the current transatlantic internet cables now. So they're exactly the same size, if not just a little bit smaller than the transatlantic cables that we're using now. And in layman terms, it's something akin to taking a one-way road and stretching it out into a seven-lane highway. And then they stretch that seven-lane highway into a multi-tiered freeway, kind of like the LA stack. And then, except in this case, the seven-lane multi-story freeway is actually a drag race with all the power from individual vehicles being directed into a single source. They have also introduced two additional orthogonal dimensions for data transportation, which essentially means now on this stretched multi-tier freeway, three different cars can drive on top of each other in the same lane. I mean, this is just unbelievable. They're not necessarily saying that it's going to be rolled out quickly, because obviously the technology for multimode fiber being in place, but it's the price tag is still very high, and especially if you consider replacing the millions of miles of existing cable, could make putting this upgrade off for decades. But then you also have to consider, with the absolutely mind-blistering implications of a World Wide Web operating at thousands of times its current maximum speed, you'd have to take into consideration the cost of holding off on such an upgrade, because holding off, the cost could be unimaginable also. So very interesting stuff. Technology moving way, way far ahead, and fiber optic cables that can move a whole terabyte in less than 30 milliseconds. That is just unbelievable. There's a little bit of a mystery coming out right now regarding NASA's secret mission in Africa. A NASA official recently confirmed that one of the agency's aircraft had been spotted on an American military airstrip in eastern Africa a few weeks ago, but like a series of U.S. military officials declined to say what the space agency's high-tech bird were doing over there. Jim Alexander, who is the NASA official who's affiliated with the WP-57 high-altitude research project, said, I really can't give you guys any details, The plane was there. Obviously, somebody took a picture of it, but I can't tell you why it was there. So this is what we're talking about is a broad-winged white plane, which belongs to the agency. Obviously, we're talking about NASA, known for putting a man on the moon. It was photographed by a satellite company, Digital Globe, back in September, sitting next to some tilt-rotor aircraft at a Camp Lemonnier in Djibouti. What's interesting about that is that while the NASA website tracks the agency's three WB-57s, and shows that any one of its planes could be on a quote-unquote foreign deployment at any time from July through November, the NASA handbook for the WB-57 posted online only lists 14 international deployment sites for such an aircraft around the world, and the American base in Djibouti is not one of them. So this is a pretty interesting aircraft. Very interesting as to what it could possibly be doing there. They go on to say they do a lot of work for different customers, not just government, but industry and academia. But this particular plane has relatively the same capabilities as the famed U-2. So this plane can fly almost as high and actually carry more weight, including an array of high-tech imagery and communications equipment. So obviously, NASA using their high-tech equipment over Africa and not wanting to let us know what that is all about. So there you go. That's what's going on there. Not really too surprising. How about some new technology being reported by James Thomas over at Yahoo right now that uses the camera on your personal device it looks at your new facial recognition, and it uses software to interpret your emotions by mapping the minute movements of your eyes when you smile, your mouth when you gasp, and the furrow of your brow when you are confused. They are trying to use this technology that makes sure people have understood their content. This is according to Matt Newcomb from Procter & Gamble. These facial coding programs go to work after responding facial expressions surface in video, and the software can be used for a multitude of marketing purposes. Television episodes are right now being emailed to viewers whose facial recognitions determine whether the show is a flop or is a hit. Obviously, one of the concerns about this facial coding is privacy. We talk a lot about privacy around here, so the questions obviously become, what are the advertising agencies doing with these intricate maps of your face? Is this information being shared with other people, and with whom, and what purpose is this information being collected? The advertising agency website Mumbrella is trailing the technology right now in Australia. They're trying to use it to gauge people's reaction to the new David Jones Christmas campaign, but they are nice enough to say that the facial recognition coding program only runs if you opt in, and they won't be operating it secretly. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Sure, I believe that. Okay, the Sony hack is getting deeper and deeper. We've talked about it a couple of times, but just new insight coming out of Sony right now is that they are officially looking at North Korea, and North Korea is officially not denying it. So a good chance that North Korea did perchance take part in this, but the fallout for Sony has been significant, with a few movies that were not released being leaked to the internet, plus all kinds of information about confidential pictures, entertainment data, personal information, business documents. I mean, they really took them to task. So going to go ahead and blame North Korea on that one. I want to jump to some health news. Again, still a few tech stories that I'm not going to get to. China getting ready to build a base on the moon because they want to build a Death Star. True story, ladies and gentlemen, true story. They want to build a Death Star. Anyway, let's move on to some health news right now. There's one story that I want to cover quickly because we mentioned this the other day. Are you sleeping enough? Let me just let you know. No. The answer is no, you're not sleeping enough. And it's a really big problem. I want to go over these reasons why it's a really big problem. There's a new documentary coming out by Nat Geo, which combined efforts from the National Institutes of Health, the Public Good Projects, and it actually just debuted this Sunday night. And it's called Sleepless in America. It's 2 hours, and I'm not kidding when I say it's 2 hours, but it is really interesting. And the main gist of it is that everybody is freaking tired. Nobody is getting enough sleep. And then there's this aspect, which is chronic sleep deprivation could have irreparable damage to your health. Now, we have talked about that many, many times. But let's go on to some of the details that they actually flush out in this documentary. So, of course, there is a debate about the magic number of sleeping hours. Experts here recommend a solid 8 hours a night. And that being said, 40% of Americans are sleep deprived by that standard. The average American actually sleeps less than 7 hours a night. Meanwhile, 70% of adolescents also fall behind in the recommended amount. Number two, lack of sleep is a serious problem in our constantly moving 24-hour, 7-day-a-week society. People are getting thousands of hours less sleep than they once were, and as the documentary puts it, sleep is being decimated by our overstimulated culture with so much technology and gadgetry that it distracts everyone all the time. Plus, people are overworked, so they no longer have enough time to do the things that they want to do during the week, and as a result, they stay up even later on the weekends so that they can compensate. Sleep is just as important as good nutrition, physical activity, and wearing your seatbelt, according to this documentary, but many people greatly underestimate the need for all of those things. This quote from Mark Rosekind, who is a member of the National Transportation Safety Board, he goes on to say, every aspect of who you are as a human, every capability is degraded and impaired when you lose sleep. So what does that mean? Your decision-making, your reaction time, your situational awareness, memory, communication, and all of those things go down by between 20 and 50% when you are sleep deprived. When sleep gets shorter than 7 hours a night, there's evidence that there is an increased risk for obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even Alzheimer's. The film actually interviewed David Gozal at the University of Chicago, and he is a doctor who has conducted a study linking increased risk of cancer also for lack of sleep. Wow. National Institute of Health study reduced subject sleep to 4 hours a night and saw the impact on their weight. Turns out sleeplessness increases an appetite for fatty food, and the study showed that short sleepers consume 500 more calories a day than people who got enough sleep. Almost all mental illnesses have associated sleep problems, according to experts. In fact, sleep deprivation is nearly universal in every psychiatric condition, from bipolar anxiety from bipolar disorders to anxiety disorders. Also, when you sleep, the brain clears out toxic chemicals, and one of the proteins that accumulates in the brain while you're awake is associated with Alzheimer's disease. And this is according to Jeffrey Iliff, who is a doctor at Oregon Health and Science University. He talks about his research into the link between poor sleep and clear thinking and Alzheimer's. I mean, there are so many. I'm not going to get through all of this because there's another five reasons, but you guys have to go check this out. It's just unbelievable how much influence sleep has on your health. Again, turn off the electronic stuff before you go to bed. Give yourself a two-hour window. You know, I turn everything off at like 8 and try and be in bed by 10, but you gotta get this stuff away from your face. The blue light, we had that article the other day in artificial light doing the same thing. Just unbelievable. Bayer in the news right now. I'm probably not going to make it all the way through this story, but Bayer, Liberty Link GMO crops have now been definitively proven to lead to the development of autism. Not a question. This is published in the Frontier of Behavioral Neuroscience. It's a study that outlaws how GLA, which is glufosinate ammonium, which is a herbicide that Bayer uses literally on thousands and thousands of products, have now come out to show a direct link between that and the development of autism. So it's a very startling story, especially for those of us who unfortunately have autism in our family. The prevalence of autism obviously has been significantly on the rise for the last several decades. Now a link between, and an interesting also that Bayer owns pharmaceutical companies that actually sell products to quote-unquote treat autism and quote-unquote treat Alzheimer's. So isn't that wonderful when you can control both sides of the spectrum, which is obviously what Bayer is doing right now. There is some more health news that I would like to talk to. There's a report saying that GMOs causing deadly bacteria to flourish in the digestive system. This is according to Natural Society. That's a fantastic one to go and check. And in a follow-up to the people who passed away after taking Novartis flu vaccine in Italy, Novartis has come back and said, well, we checked everything and it's all perfectly safe, so don't worry about it. Probably no correlation between the 19 people that died and our vaccine. So nothing to see here, folks. Just go ahead and move on. We've got a 3-minute break. When we come back, we will be speaking with Dr. Richard Allen Miller. This is going to be one you don't want to miss. Keep it right here, guys. Quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. This is your Daily Dose of Deprogramming.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Sure am glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. It is straight up 11 o'clock Central Time, and we are live, and it is my esteemed privilege to be welcoming the one and only Dr. Richard Allen Miller to the broadcast today. This is going to be an amazing discussion, ladies and gentlemen. And Dr. Miller, I have to tell you, this has been an interview that I have been looking forward to since day one, since the day your name hit that schedule, man. I have been really, really looking forward to this. One of the challenges that I've had is trying to come up with some sort of synopsis about your background that makes sense and isn't too in-depth. And it's sad for me to have to say that I don't think I can succeed in giving your background the justice that it deserves. So I'm going to just turn the floor over to you, if you don't mind. And if you could just kind of tell us the Reader's Digest version of who you are, I think people would be really fascinated, sir.
Well, I'll try. I was gifted. I came out of the crib with what is called an eidetic memory. That means it's considered better than photographic. I'm like a four-year-old that never became seven, and now I'm 71. What would you like to know? I'm a functioning savant. All right. So in high school, the two science fair projects, my junior and senior year, 1960, 1961, were actual hardware used on Mariner 4 in 64 going by Mars to measure the water on Mars. I did it as a high school student 3 years earlier before NASA. And so old man DuPont had a bullseye on me. I was a top draft pick. And so my entire education from Washington State University to later going to Delaware, MIT, later teaching at Harvard, were all orchestrated by old man DuPont and others trying to make me all that I could be.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so I worked Navy intelligence. I started with SEAL Corporation, which was Navy SEALs, training them, developing protocols to make them supermen. And from there, I moved to Spook Central. That will be a book that I will be writing next year. I've already got a few chapters on the work I did under Dr. Carl Schleicher, the smoking man.
Okay.
They would call me the real Fox Mulder. I was in the center of all of it. We were out of anesthesiology at the University of Washington. That's where it all takes place. And I did artifacts. I've done paranormal studies. I've seen things. I have no idea what they mean. Even I, with all of my education and my ability to grok a situation, I don't know what's going on. And I really don't. What I do know is there's a way more going on than we're being led to believe.
Yes.
Some of it, it might be we're at war with something. And the war, you feel it internally, emotionally, with money and rent and stress and all of the rest of it. But this is a true battlefield. That's what L. Ron Hubbard called it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, battlefield Earth. And here we are. And there's something else going on. I haven't got a clue. I have some ideas.
Right.
Can't prove them. You know, I can't prove them. But there's no question that we've been invaded by something. Zen Gardner will say that the war is going interdimensionally, levels of the hologram, if you will.
Okay.
You know, a new way of looking at what's going on things. And we can go there if you'd like. I didn't mean to go off on a soapbox. I'll go ahead, John.
Oh, no, I think the soapboxes are going to be what people are tuning in for today, to be honest. I want to recommend everybody go to richardallenmiller.com, which is essentially your main focal site where people can find out about you and see what you're up to. That's correct?
Yes, I have other websites from previous incarnations. What happened, so that you have the next thumbnail, was that once I realized what I was doing for the military, making weapons, I've written a paper called Synthetic Telepathy in the Early Mind Wars that would give you a sense of mind control and what we're doing. I have new papers out in that direction since I've returned. But what I did is I walked away from the military and I became a dirt farmer. And for the last 35 years, I've been a farmer. I was one of Chuck Walter's pallbearers. I have books with Acres USA.
Wow.
You know, I went into agriculture. Dennis Kucinich calls me the postman. I do urban survival skill workshops with Matt Stein. I can give you some dates on where we're doing some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm the supercomputer in Corvallis, not, what's his name that was the actor, that did, the postman.
Oh, I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah, okay. You know who I mean?
I do, yeah.
Okay. In the book, the original book, it's about a supercomputer in Corvallis that while the rest of the universe goes down into a black hole, this computer allows this civilization to evolve and advance with new systems of ecology.
Mm-hmm.
Be it by Ernest Kallenbach or Voice of the Planet with Michael Tobias. And what I do is I network for congressmen now, networking rural communities and bunkers. And they're all over the place. And eco villages, little communities that have rights over the state, over the federal government. I'm doing things like that down in Trinity's with Willow Creek. That'll be in January. I'll be in Chicago in July doing psychotronic conference with Bearden and all the rest of the people that are talking about Nikola Tesla. Those kinds of things for free energy.
And that's in July in Chicago?
Yes.
How do I get tickets to that? I need to be
you
at that.
You don't need a ticket.
Okay.
You're welcome, John, as my guest.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be there. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Joe and James Janik, known as the Dark Knight of Radio, has just done a series of videos on fullerenes that are absolutely to die for.
Wow.
I think that fullerene technology coming out of nanotechnology is possibly the single most important event of this century.
What is that called? Fullerene?
Fullerenes, F-U-L-L-E-R-E-N-E,
okay.
Fullerene. What that is 60, 70, or 120 carbon atoms. The one we're going to talk about is the C60,
okay.
Which is 60 carbon atoms that forms a buckyball. And that structure is just large enough that it will allow between the gates some exclusion zone water to be placed inside it.
Ah, okay.
What it does... Exclusion zone water is H3O2.
Yes.
Jerry Pollack, University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, by the way, just another Kevitt, was the individual that hired me for military when everybody at Boeing went unemployed. When the B-1s fell down, I was working at Boeing with 50,000 other scientists, and there were 50,000 unemployed in Seattle at one moment, and that's when Jerry Pollack hired as my lead. I didn't work for Jerry. I worked under him. That means he was my lead, but I had higher security clearance, which means I was around the corner on fourth floor.
And Jerry Pollack still works for the UW right now, right? He's still investigating the structured water.
Mm-hmm. He's Professor Emeritus on the fourth phase of water.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that hired me in 1970.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible.
The little boys from Brazil. And his work in structured water is extremely important. And we can talk about the work at MIT now with cavitation and Mark LeClaire, but fuller range. I wanted to talk about that. That's the exclusion zone. What's happening? Ukraine did it first. It's been reproduced now in Russia and several other countries that when you take exclusion zone water and you put it inside a buckyball, it forms nanotubes that act as a super antioxidant going after heavy metals and ionizing radiation. And wow, the proof is that they're feeding lethal doses of radiation to rats and then feeding them fullerene water with a 95% recovery. Oh, that article just came out in Nexus magazine and has all the physics of exactly how it works. Now, there's a bad news to all of this. The bad news is that while this is a breakthrough in medicine, the actual application are making a deuterium. It's a neutron fullerene fusion bomb. And I show the patents and where the work is happening out of Livermore. And there is a meeting with Judy Wood in March, end of March, in Missouri, USAprepares.com, big survival thing. And she's going to talk about Building 7 coming down where there was no debris. How does that work? Thermite won't get that hot. And jet fuel cannot get that hot.
Right.
So there's only one thing in nature that will slag concrete, and that's a plasma. And that's what Judy Wood's work is all about, in Dr. Judy Wood, in terms of the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. The fullerene bomb that I'm talking about was originally a Mossad weapon that was finally taken over by the United States, and they've redeveloped it with Lockheed developing the trigger on how to fire it. And the patents are in the article. I showed the patents out of Carlsbad, California. There it is. What is disturbing me is that there's an oversight or agreements on this new kind of weapon. There is with nuclear energy, in terms, we're talking about fusion now. Mm-hmm. And you can't use tritium, but they're using, instead of exclusion zone water inside the fullerene, they put deuterium in it. And then what they have is a controlled thermonuclear fusion when it ignites with a teleportation device laser that Lockheed has developed. Now, this is a simple thing where you could put these carbon fibers in an aircraft, and there would be no forensics. The plane just simply disappeared. And the bad news that I see now, and where all of this technology is going, is that with geoengineering, and they're controlling the weather, which is a United Nations project, it's not a U.S. project, okay, basically could be putting bio APIs in the debris. And that means you have these little fullerene neutron bombs inside yourself. Oh, guess what? You can take a swab with Q-tips, put it on a slide, and you can see the polymer at 600 mics. There it is. So if they're not doing this, they're going to be doing this, because a NASA document that came out a couple of years ago called The War After Next, you know, the future weapons of war, the war after next,
right,
absolutely describes this weapon. And basically what it would work like is this. You have a good Captain Kirk inhabiting a bad Captain Kirk's body in an alternate universe, and that bad Captain Kirk has a weapon where he brings up on screen anybody's picture, and he pushes a button and they disappear. Now, that's how it'll work.
You mean, and describe that process of disappearing, because I don't think people understand the difference between a neutron bomb and a standard nuclear armament.
Well, I have an article. I'll give it to you for upload if you'd like. In fact, I think I sent you some of that. Basically, a neutron bomb is a clean bomb. It just kills biologics.
Okay.
It's a radiation, and then it's gone. And there is no blowing up and bombs and things like that. Actually, the fullerene bomb is 1.4 nanometers, 10 to the minus 9 meters. It's so small as to have such precision. And by going fusion, the only thing that will contain that explosion is a fullerene, which is basically a buckyball or geodesic dome that is literally 100 times stronger than the structure of diamond.
That's unbelievable.
That's I'm sorry?
It's just unbelievable. Do you think,
that's just for openers.
Right.
I mean, that's just to get started on all of this.
Right.
You can't snow me. I'm a physicist. I know what's going on. The news reporting today in America is worse than Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. including alternative radio. There is so much disinformation out there that's sifting out the truth. And when someone like me can't do it, I'm 71. I'm about as bright as you're going to find for anybody. I can't miss anything. Right. I'm naive. I'm innocent in that sense of it. I'm like a little kid. Mm-hmm. I'm open and I'm a 4-year-old. Basically, opening my eyes, this is why I came out of retirement in agriculture for 35 years, is to say something to America. Mm-hmm. And it's time all of you wake up. That word on the street in Europe or Mexico, where I was just in February, is that Americans are ignorant, ill-informed, and complacent. Mm-hmm. And while Mexico City is the biggest ghetto in the world, I see crime in the barrios. It's like 100 miles of solid ghetto. I've never seen 100 miles of solid ghetto. That is Mexico City. And yet, with all the white slavery, the drugs, the weapons, all the stuff going on, the children, the young children are still happy. Why? Because their family is still intact.
Yes.
That isn't even true in America anymore.
Oh, no.
Well, the kids have no direction. And so my word to everybody listening to me right now is teach your children well, because that is your reincarnation. And the only way this earth is going to be saved is if you start by saving yourself. You're not going to be able to save the world, but that child watching you and knows that's where he learns or she learns how to do it. And if you sit around and don't do anything, that's what you're teaching your children.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you're not going to change the world without first changing your heart and your family. So I absolutely mirror 100% everything you just said. I mean, the most important thing is getting your own life and your own family straightened out, because then you can take it to a community-wide level. And then if we can get all the communities figured out, well, we have changed the world, haven't we? But
well, it's one step at a time. And it is the first step.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And as far as nuclear energy, Fukushima, my single one on that, when I did John Wells on that one, was turn the switch off. There is no need for nuclear energy anymore than neutron fullerene fusion bombs. It's always about weapons, not medicine.
Right.
Here's the example of fullerenes being used for radiation sickness and bioremediation in soils and things like that, whereas the primary application is using it as a weapon right now.
Wow. Do you think that part of the geoengineering project might be spreading those fullerene components around right now?
No, I think so, but I definitely would say that's next.
Right, okay.
Okay, and NASA predicts it. NASA also predicts that there will be no humans on Earth by 2050. That's why we have the transhumanism program with the Avatar program.
Right.
Transhuman movement. The thing is, there's countries that are bigger than countries. They're called transnational corporations.
Right.
And they're the ones ruling this thing. We have no say in this. Just if you want a typical example, Obama just gave the United Nations last month the right to suspend our Second Amendment mm-hmm. in case of riot. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think Ferguson and Bundy Ranch and those things are all false flags? It's
absolutely
not about racism.
No.
You know, in Portland, Oregon, they had a picture of a white cop at that protest with a 10-year-old black kid that was crying, and that cop went up and validated the kid by giving him a hug.
Yep.
They were saying free hugs, and it made the national news, mm-hmm. and it is where we need to go, because at some point, like in the war, in the First World War, during Christmas in 1917, when the countries refused, but the soldiers on the battlefield held a truce during Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we're going to do it. We're not going to take it anymore, just like in the movie Network.
Man, I couldn't possibly agree with you more on that one. I mean, to me, it's not a black and white issue. It's a systemic issue. It has to do with lack of law enforcement training, and it also has to do with the fact that we've marginalized youth in our country of a certain race to pretend that they are thugs. And we did that by, you know, promoting it through music and industry, and we allowed the CIA to dump stuff into their communities that's obviously bad. So it was a created event, just like everything else, you know. And
we call this the Peter Principle, where people evolve in their job description up to their level of incompetence. And there was a recent article, I think it was in Waking Times, Ethan Indigo Smith or someone wrote that, that basically said that had a list of individual policemen that were dismissed for abusive behavior, finding jobs in other police departments.
That's exactly it. And we've talked about this on the air lots of times. The very first step in fixing this problem is a national police offender registry. Just like a sex offender registry, we use shame nationally on a national level.
That's a really good idea.
It would work tomorrow. You get one of these guys who does something stupid, you put them on the list, and now they're not going to be a mall cop 3 months later at a little community mall in Oregon or whatever. Get them off the streets,
In our high school, they have movements now about bullying. Now, being politically correct can go over the edge. It's all about common sense, and you choose where you want to live based on your values and fellowship.
Yeah,
that's like what religions are about.
And that's what Reagan said. Everybody votes with their feet, you know?
Yep.
But okay, I want to get back into
another soapbox.
I have to, but your Black Ops experience, that to me obviously is a huge interest level for me, and as well as your kind of transition from the world of physics into metaphysics. And I'm interested in how that transition happened, how you went from, you know, being a physicist essentially to somebody who has so much expertise in the metaphysical. But I'm also curious about whether that metaphysical knowledge, does that permeate the Black Ops community? Has there been a history of metaphysical knowledge in the Black Ops community?
When you go into a situation and you're catching flies where your mouth drops in disbelief, you are confronted with the possibility that something else is going on than what you think.
Okay.
So meta means beyond. And so when I didn't find answers in physics, where do you go? Well, I started with Bibles. Yeah, what I did was I learned Old Hebrew and Greek and studied under Gershom Scholem and became a Zaddi.
Wow. Well, okay.
That's what I, Hermetic Kabbalism. I did not find answers there either, but I found discrepancies in terms of religion and so-called last pope of Rome.
Right.
You know, to have somebody intermediary talking through for you to God, how's that work?
It's a great question.
Well, I mean, what's that about? And the fact that a priest can absolve you, he's going to go negotiate your good, their bad, and the ugly behavior, with confession. My parents were atheists. I believe in God. Absolutely. How could you not? I studied Rick Strassman, how the brain creates God with dimethyltryptamine.
Yes.
And yet, to find that complex neurotransmitter in the most commonest of plants, like crabgrass, would suggest it's a delivery system from God on the way he communicates to us. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, that's one way of looking at it. American Indians used to do that with a selection of why they would pick this herb, not that one. Mm-hmm. You know, doctrine of signatures, the relationship you have to yourself. Now, I don't know what the real answers are. What I do know is I found major discrepancies. Religions are good to confirm gross values and reinforce fellowship.
Yes.
In that regard. Mm-hmm. Spirituality is not what you do, but how you do it. And in one of my books on the power tools, which were the protocols to make Navy SEALs and Superman, I had the concept of mythic living, where you live in metaphor and a relationship of one thing to another. It gives you more doors to open of possibilities. If you were a strong Christian and two aliens walked in the door, could you see them?
It's a good question.
You know, that's the old Selma Cartel saying, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it.
Right.
You know, it's our belief systems structure and limit what our universe is and what it's possible of. Mm-hmm. And I believe that spirituality includes the quality of internal landscape, your belief systems, and why you use them as tools rather than absolute given. You know, those things are given to each of us pretty randomly. Born in America, you're most likely going to be a Catholic or a Christian of some kind.
Right.
If you're born in India, you could, by their values, slap a famous movie star around just because she's showing too much skin and be able to do that legally.
Right.
You know, like what is it, those girls when Pharrell Williams, I'm so happy, and they were playing his music and dancing in the streets of Iraq and they arrested him. Uh-huh. Now, that's their right, just like mine is to live mine. Why would I want to make judgment on someone else's values?
To control them?
Well, or to validate your own insecurity.
Yep, yep, exactly.
It's a lot of different, that's why it's called complex. You're either possessed or you're complex. All of us have stories, mythologies going through us as one way of looking at things. This is how the Greek did their Divine Comedy and tragedy, the idea of mythology, the urban legends of how things like Psyche at the well, and that is, it was a primary mythology. Then in the Kabbalah, there were 22 paths. There were 22 stories in the big city. That's a new book that comes out called this next year called Pantheon, Archetypal Gods and Daily Living. It's a book on Tarot, and it sequels The Modern Alchemist.
Okay.
Now, that's Jungian psychotherapy as a tool, not a belief system, a tool to allow you to evolve quicker.
Okay.
That's what it's about. There are other ways to do it, as all shortcuts to grandma's house will be bad wolves.
You know, right.
Like addiction, whatever. You can have all kinds of risks when you're trying to get somewhere quick. My books are how I use toys, technology, you know, brain drivers, biofeedback for interrogation. I did things like learn how to continuous breathe so I could change my perception of time with breath control. This is a Tai Chi exercise that allows you to become paranormal in your body.
Wow. Okay, we got to go take a quick 3-minute break, Dr. Miller. We will be back, as I said, 3-minute break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about, just the incredible amount of information that you've got. I don't even know where to begin, Dr. Miller. So appreciate you being here. Appreciate all you listeners out there. We're going to be right back. 3-minute break, guys. Keep it right here.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube.
Advertising, I mean user experience, has always been our number one priority on YouTube. Recently, we've noticed that there is an abundance of clear white blank space in the margins of each page of YouTube. So we asked ourselves, why don't we fill these with bright, flashy ads? Now, every page will have full-size ads on the edges, and they may or may not be relevant to the videos you're watching. These ads might be unsavory enough to make you want to hide your screen from your parents, but that's what makes YouTube Plus all the more interactive.
'Cause what are you gonna do? Switch to Vimeo? YouTube Plus. What are you gonna do about it?
Being lucky is called having everything go your way. Chris and Sharicio, Saturdays and Sundays, Truth Frequency Radio.
Yep, 11:30 Central Time right now, and we are right in the middle of a very fascinating discussion with Dr. Richard Allen Miller. We're talking about physics and metaphysics and just all kinds of interesting stuff. Mostly what we're talking about is the idea that there could be a secret war being waged right now, either on a spiritual level, a physical level, or a dimensional level, which kind of leads me into a question that I've got for you. Perhaps, Dr. Miller, you'll be able to help me with this. But it seems like in our society, there is a major, major undercurrent of influence from the Egyptian mystery schools. Everything from the obelisks that we see all over the world, to, you know, even the naming of our spacecrafts. Is there some sort of metaphysical correlation between the governments and these ancient, you know, Egyptian mystery schools? Or is there a reason that we see so much influence from them in our society, sir?
Well, I'm not sure how to respond to that except, you know, Joseph Campbell. And the way he would have expressed it. But symbolism has threads of roots in terms of assumptions and belief systems. And NASA was about Apollo and Mercury projects. And so they were working with Greek rather than Egyptian pantheons. Mm-hmm. That's why I chose Greek pantheon in my book over the more animalistic Egyptian mythology. So Cirrus and Ra have these constructs within us, but they're much less accessible as the human part of being human, like psyche at the well of souls.
Okay.
And so there, I chose the Greek pantheon in my pantheon book because it was more human and people can relate more to that than the more animalistic. Yes, Egyptian mythology has several unusual things on what the pyramids could or not actually be and who actually built them or not. Mm-hmm. The Sphinx is kind of interesting.
Yes, it is.
He recently finds that also on Mars with, what is that, the latest discovery, not discovery, the, what was the latest walker on Mars?
I think it was Discovery.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. There it is. So I'm getting old now and I have so many things going on to realize that Mars, the red planet, that was a good science fiction story. Mm-hmm. Nice ride. Going back to the makers. What does the makers mean? You know, in our Bibles, we talked about Yahweh and we talked about Yod-Heh-Vah. And Yahweh is more like us, where we're all a type. Revengeful and rats.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Kabbalah, they mention also the veils of Isis, Ain, Ain Sof, and Ain Sof Ur, above Kether. And what that would suggest is there are hierarchy of gods, pretty much like there might be with aliens, because gods could be aliens in that, by definition, God is that which is not knowable. Mm-hmm. And if you work from those positions of the mysteries of God is all, then I get concerns with Christianity that has put an entity, the devil, position to God almost as like he's equal.
Right.
But he's not, because God's everything. It is man that is the one polarizing because of belief systems. That's how powerful they are. You have to realize we have choice. And so we have choice in the thoughts we choose to entertain. Mm-hmm. You want to get into philosophy, there it is. That's your internal landscape. You can look at the glass as half empty or half full. Actually, if it's yellow, it could be full of piss, too. So there's all possibilities of options in the way you choose to see things. Mm-hmm. To try and do something is to not do it. And that's neurolinguistics and the way you're talking to yourself. And if you don't think that doesn't structure the water inside your body that are in organs and affecting health, in Jungian psychotherapy, all illness is because you're not getting the message from the boss that's running this show. That's how you listen, is by illness. Mm-hmm. And if you get the message, there's no need for the illness anymore. One of them, for example, is that everyone that has anger has cancer.
Really?
Well, check it out. That's Norm Shealy, whatever. Check it out. I watched my very dear friend, Matt Stein, his wife was dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and at some point, she lost her anger, and the cancer went into remission.
Really?
It is a way that our higher self talks to us, and if you don't want to listen, you're fighting, kicking and screaming. That's called karma. Basically, in my latest book that I'm writing, which sequels The Power Tools and ESP Induction, the Protocols for Seals, is called The Non-Local Mind in a Holographic Universe. How to change the movie.
Man,
that's what makes a Superman.
That's the greatest title. I mean, I read that. That was one of the things that obviously jumped out from me on the stage or on the page as I was reading your bio, is that title, The Non-Local Mind in a Holographic Universe. I would love to get into that topic because I'm one of these people that believes collective intention is, you know, that's what drives everything at this point, you know?
Well, no, it's a different way of looking at the universe. In a quantum universe, quantum consciousness, quantum universe, you have length, girth, and width, and time as measurements. It's fourth space.
Okay.
And everything you do is measured in space and time in that universe. And with that comes the uncertainty principle of the more you know about one thing, the less you know about something else. Mm-hmm. In a holographic universe, you talk about levels or of resolution, where you have a physical plane, and above that you have an emotional plane. Emotional plane is the physical plane with more information. That's why they call it EQ. Above that is the intellectual, and then the archetypal. In the model I use, like a Fibonacci thing, there are 7 chords and an octave. That was Timothy Leary and his neurologic circuits. He was one of my teachers. And let me tell you, these are neurologic circuits, or neurotransmitters, that do different things, like dimethyltryptamine is quite different than lysergic acid amide. Lysergic acid amide is the neurotransmitter that goes aha. Froehlich wrote about that. It's called aha, that inflamed point of net or new, where you connect one dot with another. The bad news is, or good news, is that connecting dots, that's what they call five space, like Interstellar, where he went into the Akashic records. He's in this big library with different time zones. He can hop in at any different time to talk to his daughter back in history. That's what we're doing as a metaphor. And once you get the possibilities of holographic universe, where you have levels of resolution, the fourth one, the archetypal plane, known as the collective unconscious, is when you are me, and I am you, and I am the walrus. That is halfway to God. That is our divine right. It's time that each of us take personal responsibility for our own evolution, and I offer up a bunch of toys, you know, technical enhancements.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of those.
And Cyber City. Listen, man, if this transhumanism avatar program gets underway, that's going to be very creepy.
What? Yeah, let's outline that for people, because I'm not sure everybody even knows what that's about.
Well, we have algorithms that accurately listen to the chatter on the internet. It's usually a form of algebra, usually Clifford algebra. Cliff High uses Ahn's algebra, you know, Gödel. There's different forms. We use a form of Clifford algebra that takes the chatter on the internet and accurately predicts the future based on algorithms. And right now, those algorithms suggest that Fukushima was an extinction event by 2050. And that's even what NASA predicts.
Wow.
In their document. Now, what does that mean to us? Is that it's time for us to get off the couch and evolve. And you have a choice. You can do it kicking and screaming, or you can let it be known as the flow. And that is a chapter in my new book called, the chapter is called The Stanford Argument. And what that is at Stanford University is the difference between intent and intentionality. And intentionality is when Maxwell Smart said to Agent 99, missed it by that much. Well, it didn't happen.
Right.
What does happen at the end of the day is what's called true will, not free will. Man does not have free will because he doesn't have full disclosure. What he has is true will, what he wills to do, what actually happens. And you have choice in the resolution of the hologram that you're relating yourself to in terms of how you would relate this purpose and intent. James Hillman has written an exceptional book called The Soul's Code, In Search of Character and Calling.
Wow.
You know, this is imaginal psychology. This is a useful tool to address all illness. Chapter one in my book is to take care of the physical plane. I come up with superfoods.
Okay.
One of the workbooks is the anagrams of having other possible things with pyrolytic clay and, you know, activated charcoal.
Right.
You know, that's the fullerene. That's what a type of activated charcoal is. It's a super activated charcoal. Wow. And the fact that we're not even talking about these kinds of things yet would suggest, you know, what they say about humans, Americans, being, you know, ignorant, ill-informed, and complacent. And yet, who is way ahead of us down the line, you know, Iceland and their hangthebankers.com, right. You know, basically, Europe is watching us to see what we're going to do. I went out and got a concealed weapons permit. How about you?
I've had mine since several years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to say that we're all of us seeking a level of exempt status, you know, sovereignty. The Greek had a word for that. It's called autark, supreme individual sovereignty. You start with your garden. You start your children. Gardening is a recreational sport, a divine right. And then that determines where you're going to live, what kind of food you want to eat.
Right, right.
That is a new way that will be happening with so-called barter. There's a friend of mine up in Williams area has a website called ebarterbank.net.
Okay.
That's an interesting site. Another one that's legal with marijuana and so on here in the state of Oregon is called greencarebotanicals.com. Interesting where things are going. Basically, the Americas, the new Americas, Costa Rica and Uruguay and some of those places down there, and that's where all the smart money is bolting to now, like they did with Argentina.
Right.
You know, when they had the reckoning in the Nuremberg trials. There will be accountability. I think there's probably going to be a lot of blood. That means there will be a mass tie-up. I do not know what. My guess is it's not going to be pandemic. It will be more likely a pole shift.
Right.
Actually, the Earth is about to localize the infection. And these transnational corporations that are bigger than countries, that are running the planet now, recklessly, I might add. As a physicist, I would say that they're tinkering with life support, mm-hmm. and there's no instruction manual.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do?
That's what NASA said. Excuse me.
What are you doing right now that's different? I mean, are you preparing to leave the country, or what are you doing to get ready?
France Pass, I've got to get out of jail card. I've got a bunker.
All right.
A bolt hole. And, of course, you know, we could always go to Mars. I absolutely know that Mars is colonized now because of work I did in the 70s. Absolutely know that.
Okay, talk about that for just a second, because I've heard rumors that we've had people up there since the mid-60s.
That's
62 made.
Absolutely correct. In fact, we were never interested in the moon. The moon doesn't have any cheese. Anything that you would build on the moon, you'd have to bring there.
Right, right.
Better. Okay, L5 position is a better place. Okay, so in 1964, they sent the Mariner by Mars using my high school experiments, and it spotted water on Mars.
Okay.
In 1967, they detonated a nuclear warhead in the south pole of Mars in their first unsuccessful attempt in terraforming it. They couldn't create an atmosphere.
So they were trying to release the water into the atmosphere? Okay.
Clouds. Yeah, atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Okay. Things, you know, where there was debris.
Right.
Type of debris, if you will.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And then in 1968, they sent a joint manned expedition to Mars. These are top secret documents that the reader for the military. Now, I have no idea what happened. The one curious thing about that document was that it was the joint manned expedition with whom we were at war with at that time, which was Russia.
Really?
It was a joint manned expedition with Russia. How does that work? Does that mean that that Cold War was a false flag? I'm left to believe that's how deep it all goes. When Eisenhower said, beware of the military complex, realize that instead of looking at fullerenes as a breakthrough in medicine, health, and the concepts of immortality, and they would yet use it as a weapon, just like they did nuclear energy. You know, nuclear energy can cure cancer if it's used correctly. So with that said, why are we using nuclear energy for our power source? Because it developed it as a weapon. Really, they're going to do the same thing with fullerenes. That's what they're going to make the skybridge with, space elevator will be made with fullerenes. Carbon fibers are so strong as to be unbelievable. They're 100 times stronger than diamond.
That's incredible. I mean, that really is incredible. And this is the skybridge that you're talking about is what they're trying to build to the space station that they're building, or are we talking about all the way to?
That's exactly correct. And,
okay.
And I have articles I can give to you that are talking about the Japanese companies that are building that fiber. But it is the neutron fullerene fusion bomb that has absolutely no oversight, no accountability. It was most likely a Mossad weapon. I do not think the Mossad was responsible for 9/11, but they absolutely knew about it because of that. Their weapon was used. I'm going to be meeting with Judy Wood on the thing like Building 7. When Building 7 came down, I mean, you know, there was no debris. There was none. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Well, it's a new plasma weapon. That's the only thing we know that will slag concrete. Came down with no debris at all. And there's the pictures. Where did it go? The police chief that was responsible for trying to save lives out of the buildings when they were coming down is livid, you know, in terms of realizing this was an inside job primarily, probably. Well, there's a lot of reasons they brought it down, probably. It's layers of disinformation.
Right.
Convoluted you know, this, and then you got another one there and that and so on. I don't know, and probably will never know. I know that history isn't right because I've actually visited Antarctica. So I did that for the military, so I know that history was taught it isn't correct. I mean, and imagine that as a scientist that I am and the way I go about looking at things.
Okay, so can you fill in that gap? Because you're saying that history isn't accurate because you visited Antarctica. I'm assuming it's because what we know about...
I saw the Nazi base, and I was there in the 70s. I saw the Nazi... It was abandoned. It was abandoned. I saw a Viking base that was 14th century.
Right.
So there has been a lot of people there. And what I was brought in for as the physicist, because of my expertise in bioluminescence, there was kind of lighting inside this cavern. How does that work? And that's when they brought me in. It was a bacterium. And I have to say that I saw the cave was over a mile high. It had weather. It had clouds and rain.
Was this a man-made cave?
No, natural. The all of Earth is honeycombed.
Right.
That's where I live. There is a book called Underground Bases and Bunkers that's worth reading. Grants Pass has a whole chapter.
Is that Souders' book?
Yes.
Yeah, I have that.
No, I don't remember the author.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it has a whole chapter on Grants Pass. This is where the military are. The Ku Klux Klan, the Posse Comitatus, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, everybody's dug in.
Right.
You know, it's the cavers are all over here. Now, that's what they call them, cavemen. Oregon caves. Get a grip. It's, I, with my ex-wife, Iona, were visiting the Oregon caves at the very moment Klamath Falls was having a major earthquake. Buildings were falling back in the 80s.
Okay.
We didn't even know that until we watched it on TV and realized we were in the middle of a major earthquake and there was absolutely no hint. Because this is bedrock here. We are the earthquake generation. That's a book to read. That'll run them down. In the Midwest, when I worked for Dennis Kucinich, he took me into 4 states and 8 bunkers. So, you know, they're all over. The West and the East Coast, you can go all the way from Maine all the way down to Florida underground.
See, now, I hear that. Okay, and here's my question about that. Is that there's...
Seattle, you know, that big... drill that broke because it hit something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there it is. Those drill bits, did you see the size of that?
I did, yeah.
Well, then there it is. They've been doing this for a long time. When I first got here, I'm military, so I have, some carte blanche. And I saw a bunker that had been poured with the same concrete the bridges were here in 1912. That's how long these bunkers have been here.
Wow.
Now, that's before World War.
Is there truth to the rumor? You mentioned, right, you know, just a second ago that you could travel essentially from Maine to Florida underground. And
yeah.
I keep seeing there's a video on YouTube where a guy's, you know, accosting some poor truck driver who's getting ready to enter the trucking complex here in Missouri. And my question always comes back to the same thing is, why don't we have any video from, you know, they show this truck driver and he's like, oh, I can drive all the way to Maine. And then they show the footage of him inside and he's driving 13 miles an hour. And it's like, well, that's not efficient. That's not realistic. It would cost you $1 million to drive 13 miles an hour all the way to Maine from Missouri. So are there underground high speed rails? Why don't we see any evidence of that in the mainstream at all? You know what I mean? Surely somebody has a...
Those have been put on the surface, you know, like in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know what I know is that up behind Evans Creek, there is a tunnel that runs from Evans Creek all, which is 4.5 hours by motorcycle.
Right.
Okay, Northern California. It goes from Northern California right up behind Evans Creek and Rogue River. And that is part of the military complex. So, there are bases under Los Angeles. You can see them underground sub-bases. Big one.
Right.
Try to say it's alien. I don't know about the alien part. I can say this. If a child asked me, are aliens real? My response would be to the child, how could they not be? It's because of your imagination that they exist.
Okay.
Now, that is what imagination is. It's something more than you think it is. And it has influences. That's why I personally feel we were invaded about 200,000 years ago with that fourth genome blood type, unknown, called what Sir Lawrence Gardner wrote about on the bloodlines, what the CIA has been so interestingly researching with the Comte Saint-Germain and all the rest of it. Now, what does that mean? There are four different genome blood types, one of which has no origin on Earth. Where did it come from? And Zen Gardner has alluded to the fact that our war is probably being fought on multi-dimensions. And I would say if I were an alien and wanted to hide in plain sight, where would I hide? I would hide in your blood genome and have the war for Earth going on inside each of us. That's a metaphor.
Wow. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, if you and I are the same person at the collective halfway point of collective unconscious, then that would suggest that we're at war with something. And I don't know what that's why man was God's favorite. His genomes allow cooperation. There's four of them. And they're all in all of us now. It is an rhesus negative. That's where it first started, that rhesus negative concept.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's an interesting thing. I do not understand these things. This is what I did for military. And my point is, if I can't understand, what does that suggest?
It might not be understandable.
Well, it's not this level of fourth grade like we're all in.
Right.
That's what I metaphor. I say that we're all of us just basically in fourth grade.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know, but there's your show in terms of some of my values. Yes, I think there is a God. I think there's a hierarchy of them out there, and that there are possibly rules of engagement. That means the good, the bad, and the ugly. That means the bad can only do it certain ways. We'd be real estate agents, like in that movie Out There.
Right. Well, Dr. Miller, we are very close to being out of time. I do want to thank you once again for joining us today. This has been just an absolutely astoundingly amazing conversation. I hope that you can come back and grace us with your presence again, maybe sometime next month.
I'd be happy to. You bet.
That would be wonderful. Again, everybody, go out and check out his website. It is richardallenmiller.com. There are links to other sites from that site. Again, Dr. Miller, thank you again for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much does it for the show today. I want to give you guys a heads up again about Elena Freeland being on tomorrow. We're going to be talking about chemtrails and HARP and this agenda of full spectrum dominance on planet Earth. And she is going to get into some nitty gritty stuff. And I promise it will be worth your time. Tomorrow's Friday. One more day to go, ladies and gentlemen. We have just about done it. Thank you guys for being here today, and take care, everybody. I will see you again tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are, we know where you've been, we can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.